Chapter 5 Mara looked away as the hologram shifted, zooming in on the flash-frozen bodies tumbling out of the nebula chaser's breached hull. At the time, she and Jaina had been too busy recovering the escape pod to notice the Yuuzhan Vong attack, but she had seen the hologram too many times to want to view it again. In the privacy of her apartment on Eclipse, she had made R2-D2 play it repeatedly, trying to see some way she could have saved the refugees. After 100 times, she had given up, convinced she could have done nothing differently, and little comforted by the knowledge. Numanor's smug voice, captured by the surveillance equipment in the Bilbringi interrogation chamber, sounded from R2-D2's speakers. Mara focused on the others in the dank chamber. A hangar storeroom on the free-drifting supply base Sala Station, one of 1,000 anonymous rendezvous points where Jedi could meet and be gone before the Peace Brigade learned of their presence. A flash of hatred showed in Kip Duron's cold eyes. Then he clenched his still boyish jaw and pushed his anger down into the dark pit where he stowed such emotions. The reaction of Saba Sebatine was more difficult to read, perhaps because Mara did not know what signaled anger in the scaly face of a Barabel. With huge dark eyes, heavy brow folds, and a thin-lipped muzzle, Saba's reptilian features betrayed nothing. Luke allowed the hologram to play itself out. By the time R2-D2's projector shut down, Kip's outrage was a tangible thing in the Force, filling the room with a crackling energy that seemed in danger of blasting the doors off their quiet meeting place. Saba's feelings, if she had any, remained secret. Mara might have been able to probe them by reaching out with the Force, but knew how a Barabel would react to such an intrusion. Kip Duron surprised no one by speaking before Luke. "That wasn't my fault." He pointed at R2-D2, as though the droid had been the one threatening the refugee fleet. "I'm not responsible for what the Yuuzhan Vong do."
"Who said you were?"
Luke responded mildly. "But you were running supplies to the new Plimpto resistance." Kip nodded reluctantly. "I won't apologize. If there were Jedi doing the same thing on every Kip, no one's asking you to apologize." Luke passed a data card to the younger Jedi. "We only came to give you our data on the Voxen and discuss how the Jedi should react to the Yuuzhan Vong threat. Ignore it." Kip pocketed the data card and turned to go. "Thanks for the warning."
"Kip, we're talking about 1,000,000 people," Mara said. "The Jedi can't just ignore them."
Kip paused at the door but did not turn around.
"What else can we do?
We'd be fools to attack. They'd be waiting to wipe us out. If we surrender..."
"Forget it, I won't surrender."
"Neither will I," Luke said. "But now is not the time to keep harassing them. Our enemies in the Senate will use this..."
"I don't care about the Senate," Kip replied. "And the dozen are not harassing the enemy, Master Skywalker. We're killing them. More Jedi should be doing the same."
Mara was not sure whether the flash of irritation she felt was her own or her husband's. Luke was not all that fond of being called master in the first place, and he particularly loathed it when it was used in a spirit of scorn. Kip palmed a touchpad on the wall. The storeroom door slid open, much to the surprise of the 11 flight-suited pilots trying to eavesdrop on the other side.
"Well?"
Kip stood at the door, glaring. "Are we leaving or not?" The pilots scattered across the hangar, running for the brand-new XJ-3 X-Wings, the latest and most lethal version of the venerable starfighter, scattered at the landing bay entrance. Before Kip could follow, Mara stepped to the door and caught him by the arm.
"Kip, no one's saying you're wrong, but it's time for the Jedi to act in concert," she said. "The Yuuzhan Vong are smart. If we keep going our own ways, they'll kill us one by one."
Kip nodded.
"I know that better than anyone. He had already lost an apprentice, Miko Reglia, to the enemy. He looked past Mara to Luke.
When the rest of you are ready to fight, I'll be there.
And when you are ready to join the rest of us, Luke replied, you know how to reach me.
Once Kip passed out of earshot, Saba 17 came to stand in the door and spoke in a raspy voice.
That one is trouble.
Mara turned.
So you do speak basic.
She glanced at C-3PO.
I was beginning to think we would have to ask 3PO to translate.
Forgive this one.
Saba broke into a fit of amused sissing, then struggled to add,
Jedi Elissa taught her the wisdom of waiting.
Elissa was a native of Coruscant, born soon after Palpatine's death, and untainted by the poisons that had corrupted so many who came before her. Now a grown woman, she was one of Luke's most resourceful and trusted Jedi Knights, often living for years at a time in the wildest parts of galaxy, in service to the Jedi cause. She had discovered Saba while on a long-term spying mission to Barab One, but the circumstances of her cover had prevented her from sending the Barabel to Yavin 4 to train with other Jedi students. Instead, she had taken Saba as her own apprentice, teaching her what she could of the Force before being chased off the planet by a hunting pack, trying to import the human-hating doctrine of Nola Tarkona's Ryloth-based Diversity Alliance. When her sissing fit finally passed, Saba rasped something in her own language that C-3PO dutifully translated as,
She also taught this one the wisdom of listening quietly.
Yes, Elissa has proven herself an expert in that regard many times over.
Luke laughed, joining the pair at the door.
I should have known that any Jedi of hers would be full of surprises.
This one is glad her silence did not offend you,
Saba said.
The taste of Kib Duron was not pleasing to her. How does one like him earn a new squadron of X-Wings?
There are some in the military who admire his courage, misplaced as it is, Luke said.
He caught Mara's eye and directed it to the motley assortment of Y-Wings, Headhunters, and Howlrunners, resting in a neat line beside Saba's plasma-scored blast boat. Having fought her way in from the Outer Rim only recently, Saba was not as well known as Kip Duron, or as well equipped. But her habit of keeping a low profile had attracted an entire squadron of like-minded Jedi pilots.
The reputation of your squadron is also admired by those in a position to know, Mara said. I'm sure the same officers who supply Kip would happily lose a shipment in your direction.
Saba's slit pupils widened almost into diamonds.
The Wild Knights would never dishonor the Jedi by taking such a shipment.
Mara was taken aback by the disapproval in Saba's voice, but Luke only smiled and laid a hand, his real one, on her scaly shoulder. C-3PO had warned them that such intimacies with the Barabel had been known to result in the loss of the hand, but somehow Luke's familiarity drew only an accepting curl of Saba's thick tail.
In your hands, such a gift would do the Jedi no dishonor, Luke said. But I'm glad to know you're concerned. Have you given any thought to Savang La's threat against the refugees? And how we will be hurt if the Senate believes us insensitive to so many deaths?
Saba looked away.
The path is not clear.
She opened her mouth as though to continue, but rippled her scales and simply stopped. Luke and Mara waited for her to continue, then shared a moment of bewilderment and reached out around them with the Force. Mara felt nothing unusual, and she could tell by Luke's puzzled reaction that he did not either.
Saba? Luke asked.
The Barabel turned back to Luke.
You did not feel that.
No,
Mara said. She could sense that Saba was uneasy with her, especially after she had suggested something the Barabel considered less than honorable. But she also knew that standing quietly by would do nothing to allay that uneasiness.
And neither did Luke.
Strange.
Sabo looked around for a moment, then flipped her tail in the reptilian equivalent of a shrug.
Master Skywalker, this one knows the Senate disapproves of us, and others like us. But when are cowards not threatened by the brave?
She glanced across the hangar to her pilots, who all stood patiently beside their battle-scarred craft.
The Jedi are few, and the Yuuzhan Vong many. Yet look at the forces they direct against us. Voxen, blockades, whole hunting fleets. We are doing something they fear, and the Force tells this one she must continue.
Mara started to suggest that they would be more effective if they all worked together, but sensed a sudden acceptance in Luke and remained quiet.
The Barabel are hunters, Luke said to Saba, and hunters work best in small packs.
Saba rewarded him with a crooked grin.
Truly, Master Skywalker is as wise as Jedi Elissa claims. Perhaps he would honor this one with a great favor?
Luke did not hesitate.
Of course.
She turned to Mara.
And you? This will be a burden on you as well, and you have the new hatchling in your nest.
Mara thought of Ben, and instantly felt him aboard the Shadow with Jaina and Danny, sleeping contentedly in the arms of one of the two young women. Mara would never do anything to jeopardize her baby's well-being, but she sensed the inherent trust Luke felt for this Jedi they had never met, and Mara's trust in him was such that there could be no doubt of her answer.
"Please, we Jedi must do what we can for each other," Mara said. "And we have plenty of help on Eclipse."
"Good.
You may have need of it,"
Saba said, not smiling. She turned to C-3PO and rasped something in her own language.
"Oh, my."
The droid's photoreceptors lit an alarm.
"Truly?"
Saba snarled something back.
"It's only an expression," C-3PO said, scurrying toward Saba's blast boat. "I wasn't calling you a liar."
Luke and Mara exchanged curious glances, and Mara realized they also had a favor to ask of Saba. She was about to suggest this, but Luke, as usual, knew what she was thinking almost before she did.
"Saba, perhaps the Wild Knights would also do us a great service," Luke asked. "It would mean carrying a fair amount of equipment into battle."
"And a scientist," Mara added. "It could mean the war, especially if you know where to find a Yamisk war coordinator."
Mara was not sure Saba heard them. The Barabel was looking somewhere beyond their shoulders, brow folds creased deeper than ever.
"Master Skywalker, do you know where Elissa is?"
Mara felt the growing apprehension that accompanied Luke's answer.
"She's still monitoring the situation on Corellia for us."
Saba's gaze returned to Luke.
"Do you think she could be in danger?"
And now Mara had a sinking feeling. As much as Luke cared for all of the Academy's former students, it had been impossible to spend enough time with each one to develop the kind of bond that would connect them closely through the Force. But Elissa had spent years training Saba one-on-one, in a very stressful environment. It was not surprising that their bond would be an especially close one, and strong enough to inform Saba of her master's danger.
"It's always impossible to say what Thrakken Salsolo and his ilk will do next," Mara said. "But we didn't expect Elissa's mission to be dangerous. The Corellians don't even know she's there." "Perhaps they have found out," Saba said. "Or perhaps it is something else. But Elissa is frightened."
"Frightened?"
Luke asked. He looked at Mara.
"That doesn't sound like Elissa."
Saba shook her head.
"No, it does not. We will investigate once we have loaded your scientist and the equipment. There will be no trouble finding a Yamask. They come to us.
Thank you, Luke said. I'll have Danny start the transfer.
Luke activated his comlink and informed Danny, who sounded happy, perhaps ecstatic was a better word, to be flying with Saba 17 instead of Kip Duron. The Shadow's cargo ramp descended, then Danny and the pilots from Saba's squadron began to transfer equipment. In the meantime, C-3PO returned with three burly Barabels. Though a little larger than Saba, all three had the purple-green scales of young adults. There were also lightsabers hanging from their belts.
If you please, Master Skywalker, we were on our way to Yavin 4 when the war blocked us.
Saba said,
please take these young Jedi Knights and show them the true path to becoming a Jedi. There remains too much of the hunter in this one to teach them well.
Luke and Mara exchanged startled looks. Then Mara asked,
are these your children, Saba? They are hatchmates, but only the male is of me.
Saba said,
the females share a mother. One also shares a father with my own son. But of course, it is impossible to say which.
The affiliations were horribly lost on the two humans, but Mara suspected they would figure it out in time.
We'll care for them as though they were our own.
Saba's eyes widened.
They are old enough to find their own food. Just give them a territory. Any sub-basement or scrub lot will do.
Now it was Mara's turn to be shocked. This is going to be interesting.
The slight smile that came to Luke's lips suggested he had perceived the sense of her thoughts. Then Saba let out a chain of long hisses. Mara mistook the sound for the Barabel's sissing laughter, until Saba cried out in grief and dropped into a fighting crouch. Her needle-like teeth folded down into view, and she let out a long, mournful growl. Mara and Luke stepped away in unison, their hands instinctively dropping toward their lightsabers. C-3PO rasped at her in Barabel. She snarled something in reply, then dropped to all fours and crouched low. The other Barabels reacted to their master's distress, also dropping to all fours and adding their own raspy voices to the rumble, and they all began to scratch at the durasteel floor. Mara and Luke exchanged startled glances. Then the forest grew heavy with anger and disbelief. Mara knelt beside Saba and, ignoring C-3PO's admonition not to touch a strange Barabel, laid a hand on the Jedi's back.
Saba, what's wrong?
The Barabel's head turned slowly toward Mara, her reptilian pupils narrowed to slits, her fangs wet with saliva.
Elissa, she rasped. Something caught her.
Something? Luke asked. Saba beat her tail against the ground, prompting C-3PO to explain unnecessarily that tail-banging was a typical reptilian expression of rage.
This one doesn't know, the Barabel said, but she is gone. Elissa is no more.
Mara and Luke glanced across her back, each knowing without speaking what the other was thinking. Voxen.